We have another question coming up. Mr. Greg Giosa is a spiritual artist.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, Supreme Master. How are you?
I'm okay and still supreme. Supremely happy.
That's great.
Nice to know you. Yeah.
Same here. I'd like to send you infinite love for spreading the light of God.
Thank you, love. Thank you.
My question to you tonight is, many countries and global citizens are suffering from the serious consequences of global warming. Many of these nations are not the main contributors of the problem.
Yes,
how can we help to inform the media, governments, and even the consumers to understand that each individual can make a huge difference by switching to a more loving lifestyle, like the animal-free vegan diet, that loving others is, in fact, loving ourselves? Thank you very much, Supreme Master.
Thank you, sir. Just do what you are doing. You're teaching people to be loving and kind. Continue what you're doing. And for others, they have to first lead by example, no? Yes. Because a vegan is not only compassionate, it's healthy, and it will save the planet. So anyone who want to save the planet, who want to live here, who want to keep this home for the children, should get involved any way they can, in their environment, in their office, in their acquaintance circle. Just print out all the necessary information, which is free of charge on our TV anyway. It's called www.suprememastertv.com. We have all kind of information, fact-checked, proofed, so you can print them out and give it to the people and inform them. You never know how many lives you save, and you never know that your effort would save the planet as well. Thank you very much for doing what you're doing and for your question.
Thank you, Supreme Master, for that wonderful and inspiring and heartfelt answer. For we know that we should be examples of the things that we are talking about that will alleviate global warming. The next question is from Ms. Stephanie Redcross, vegan and managing director of Vegan Mainstream.
Hi, Supreme Master.
Hi, beauty.
Thank you.
Where are you from?
I'm from San Diego. So right down the street.
Ah, okay. My neighbor.
Absolutely. My question today is about the theme of your book launch is glorifying love through art, poetry, dance, and life. Can you expound more on that? As well as, why is love so essential to human life and all human beings? What must we do to develop our love to be more loving like you, Supreme Master?
Huh, like me? Huh. How do you know?
We try.
Hey, sweetheart. You know, love is very, very important to you. Just ask your boyfriend or your husband. He'll tell you it is important. And your children, yes, your loved one, your parents. These are the love that we need all the time in order to feel good. Even animals, you know, I read a book. I think it's called Chicken Soup, sadly. Chicken Soup for the Pet Lover's Soul. How can a pet lover eat chicken soup? But I guess it's just a, you know, metaphor. Okay, that was an experiment in love. And that book is wonderful. You should read it. It's full of sentiment and make me cry some. Now, there was a lady who take a walk and then discover there were a bunch of kittens who abandoned on the street, on the street side. So she brought them home. And they are doing very well. And she likes one of them very much. She has one favorite. So that favorite one is growing fast and, you know, lively and adorable. So that one was adopted immediately. And now the rest some more to be adopted, because she already have 3 cats and 2 dogs, and her husband is not very keen on having a zoo in the home. He's already very burdened with work and other animals already. So she promised him that she will give them all for adoption. I said, don't worry. But then the first one were adopted, and then the rest are still there. There was one kitten, the smallest one, the ugliest one, and the most slow and dull, and it doesn't seem to be interested in life or anything at all. And he always at the bottom when they come to drinking milk or feeding or something. He's always laying at the bottom and everybody else on top of him. And now this lady, she wanted to make experiment in love. So she was wondering whether love would change him. So she especially pick him up and give him a name, and every day talk to him and carry him around and even wash dishes and all that with him. And then he picked up, you know. Then he grow fast and he's more lively and answer to his name, and now he doesn't stay at the bottom anymore, but whenever calls him or whenever she came near, he climb on top of everybody else, of other 4 kittens. He climb on top of them, so that to climb onto her. And he became so loving and so intelligent, and he understood every word that she said. So now, every other kitten's already been adopted one after another. This one left. And every day she carries, she talks to him, and she feeds him loving and attention, and teach him a lot of things, talking to him. And he understood absolutely everything. Then there come the day her husband came home, announced that somebody want to adopt him. Oh, that was heartbroken for her. But, you know, she already promised him that she will give away all these kittens. So she had to keep her promise, even though heartbroken. And then she wrote a note, you know, to the adopter person. Like, this kitten is hand-raised with a lot of love and attention. And he understood everything. And he's very gentle, very kind, very intelligent. And he can go on the car. He is absolutely very, very obedient and good. Make sure you give him the great love, because this is what he will give you. And she was crying inside, of course. But then the husband, reading that note, knowing how much the kitten meant to her, even then she's still big enough to give him away. So he agreed to let the kitten stay with her. You know, that was Christmas, and he put a red ribbon on the kitten and handed it back to her. That was a very, very interesting story, don't you think?
Yes.
Thank you.
And even love is essential to babies even, you know. They have experiments with babies as well. They experiment with some baby. Like some baby are fed only, but not touched, not loved, not talked to, not picked up, not paid attention to. Then they have become very dull and, you know, almost like lifeless and not interested. Lack of intelligence and life expression even. Compared to the group that has received a lot of love and care, those babies grow faster and look more intelligent and happy and more responsive. You see what I mean? How love is important. And you know it yourself. If you have heartbroken once, you know what it means. Love is important to you. Okay? All right. Even pets, you know, if you don't touch them, don't love them, and they behave like a wild, they're colder and indifferent to humans. I have personal experience myself with adopted dogs and birds. You see, they changed completely after a period of time with a lot of care, love, and attention. They're more friendly now, loving, more endearing, and trusting humans. Like, for example, Solo before, huh? He's not good with humans, huh? Whoever go near, he will growl or he even beat them. He even beat me when he first came. And so whenever I have guests or visitors, I train him slowly and then he trusted me already. He won't bite me anymore. It was the beginning, huh? Because I took the bone from him, you know, the veggie bone. And then he did not really mean to bite, it just accident. Okay, now, when the visitor came, I have to put a lot of veggie bone in in that visitor's pocket and tell him to give to the Zolo whenever he go near immediately. Just keep giving. So slowly like that, he became very friendly, and now we don't need any bones, veggie bones, for him to behave. Whoever come to visit, he just come and play with him immediately and expect them to rub his tum-tum and, you know, and play with him and everything. It's just like a hand-raised dog, puppy. Yes. He completely changed 360 degrees. You can ask some of the people who knows him before, and you will know how he changed. Yeah. And even the people, they don't know, you know, like some visitors never came to my house before. They came, and then all my dogs just surround them, jump on them, kiss them all over, and bring toys to them, and all kind of things. They never did that before when they first came, okay? So love is very, very essential. Try it and you know. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Supreme Master Billy Dean, our guest speaker and vegan telepathic animal communicator, has a question. Ms. Dean?
The magical person.
Thank you very much. Supreme Master, I really wish that this wonderful book of yours, The Love of Centuries, can inspire all humans to see animals and everything that surrounds us with more love. Do you think that in the near future, humans will reach this level where everything we do is motivated by love, as well as expanding our love to all beings, including, of course, our animal friends?
Okay, Dr. Doolittle. Thank you for your question. Not too near future, I do not think, but let's pray for that to happen, and soon. We all meditate on it and believe that it will come true. If enough people believe in love power, exercise the love power, love will become permanent in our world. Other planets have succeeded. Possibly we too can have love that rules this world. You see, for other people, if you want to have more love in your life, then just have to act in love. Be vegan to start with, okay? And in any situation, think of what would Jesus do? What would Buddha do? Then you will slowly reactivate the love that is inside you. We all have this inside us. It's just that we don't exercise it. And then it will not become alive. It will just stay dormant. But if we exercise the love in every situation, then the love will come again. Okay? Meditate. Meditate. Yes. Thank you, Dr. Doolittle.
Thank you so much.
Mrs. Dr. Doolittle.
Thank you, Supreme Master, for that insightful answer, because we have dealt with all kinds of power, but we forgot to use enough love power. Thank you for reminding us.
Very good.
Our next question is from Ms. Erica Ocean, a raw vegan commercial print fashion model based in Los Angeles.
Thank you. Hi, Supreme Master, how are you?
How are you, love? Wow, you have beautiful dress on. Look at you.
Thank you. My question for you is, if love is the panacea for the environmental crisis that's facing our planet, how can we approach people that we love, our government leaders, our coworkers, and people of everyday life, who normally approach their everyday thinking on a rational and logical basis instead?
Yes. It's not easy, beautiful girl, but it's doable. We just try a little bit at a time, huh? We all have to learn. Humans must learn through the wise doctrine from teachers of the past and present to march toward a love-filled lifestyle, to learn through a longer time span, with painful lessons is not as good as we learn now. Wait until we became so-called grown up in love with personal sorrow, then we suffer too much already. So people from all planets have to sooner learn this lesson of love in order to evolve or face extinction due to the screening process. As in our worldly schools, either we learn well, we pass the exam, or stay behind, and or ultimately we are out. Yes. Thank you for your concern.
Thank you, Supreme Master, for such a wise, enlightening answer. And thank you, Miss Erica, for asking such an important question. We have another question, Supreme Master, and it's the last question that we have. It's from Daya Harmwi, a vegan celebrity lawyer.
Thank you.
Wow, a lawyer of love.
Yes, indeed.
Hi, hi.
Hi, Supreme Master.
Lovely to know a lawyer who is vegan. Wow. You make my day. And you're beautiful as well, so shining with big aura.
Thank you, Supreme Master. My question to you is, in your book of poetry, The Love of Centuries, many of the poems appear to portray the love for a single person that spans many lifetimes, and sometimes the love is not easy or smooth.
Is it ever?
Supreme Master, can you tell us why the soul chooses this path? Is it to develop unconditional love? Would you say that true love is unique? And is it always the same lover that we meet life after life? If so, how come there is such a strong affinity? Supreme Master, do you think it's possible to share with us the love of centuries of yours? Thank you. I love you, and I appreciate you.
I love you, too. What makes you think that I wrote it for the lover of my century, huh? So, if I wrote about a puppy's feeling, then you think I'm a puppy as well? The dog? Or the poem about the pig in my poetry book, then you think I'm the pig as well? I told you poetry is not always expressing the personal feeling. But now, to your question. It's not that we have to go through that in order to learn about unconditional love. It's just that the karmic attraction, you see. And it's not always the same lovers that we meet life after life. Although we do. Sometimes there are several even, sometimes just pure enemies from the past existence. You'll be surprised. Those who are enemies from past lives must smooth out together in this life through love. That's why they meet each other again and even fell in love. But it's hard for humans to distinguish, to differentiate who is who. Because both encounters of past lovers and past enemies will give us equally strong, forceful attraction that we might possibly choose the wrong ones, like the past enemy, to be life partner. In fact, the attraction between enemies is even stronger than lovers sometimes. That's why love at first sight is not always long-lasting or happy ending. You know that. In the case of the enemy, it is for us to iron out past mistakes that we did to the other person or the other person to us. Put balm on the injured part of our relationship memories, so that love will heal all past sorrow and correct vengeful inclination. That's how the souls make peace with each other evolved to a higher spiritual level and redeem the negative traces on their path and add more everlasting energy to the planet. It all hangs together, you see. Now, you'll be surprised, but our surrounding people, for example, like family members, friends, acquaintances, lovers, are varied in friend quality. I call that FQ then, huh? For easy to identify. There are people with more FQ, mean friendly quality, friend quality, or more EQ, enemy quality. But we can change that, of course. It takes a long time. It takes some time. It takes love to change from EQ to FQ, from enemy to friend. But we have to cooperate. We have to try our best, both sides, in order to change enemy to friend. It needs a cooperation of both, you know, person. So it's very difficult to know who is friend, who is enemy at the beginning. It takes a long time and keen observation to verify it. It could be a very painful process. Often we realize it too late. Because enemies, people, are often capable of making us believe that they are helpful and friend-like. In small ways they are. And then wait until some real important events happen to you. Then you will see their true nature. They either make trouble for you, disturb you so that you cannot reach your goal or you cannot fulfill your business, things like that, or make trouble in your family. Even master's disciples are not all with FQ. You see, quite an astonishing numbers that follow any masters are with EQ, mean enemy quality. These are either there to cause trouble from within, or to bring troubles into the master life, or to come back to enter the master circle in order to redeem their past sin, that they have harmed the masters or someone in the past life, and now they came back to redeem the mistake. But even then, if they came back to redeem the mistake, the master have suffered a lot, must suffer a lot in order to carry the burden of bad karma of this person, especially if that person has harmed the master in the past life. The bad karma is very, very, very heavy, very difficult. No one else can rescue this person except the master, because they have done harm to this master in the past life. But it's very difficult to deal with this kind of EQ disciple. It's also hard on their part, even though they try. The disciple always get entangled in the past bad karma and being poured into the darkness and in the negative action again and again and again, in different way, but similar to the past life action. It just may be less intensity. Okay. Most true masters suffer or die because of these EQ disciples. Sometimes even die under their hands. If any master who are lucky and not have EQ disciples, they would never have to suffer at all. Even Buddha, you know, has been tried assassination several times. Some master have about 60% of EQ disciples. Some master have about 30 or 40% disciples as average in their lives. If they're lucky, they would have 50-50. But even if the master knows that these or that disciple are the EQ incarnate, they rarely refuse them because of compassion, because they are the only one can help them. So we have, you see, for example, in the history of Christianity, we have Judah for Jesus and Devadatta for Buddha, for example. Huh? And there was a story in the Kingdom of China. There's a book called The Three Kingdoms of China, one of the Chinese great literature. Okay, these EQ disciples or people, they don't have to to do things deliberately in this lifetime. They could just harm the master invisibly even, and making them ill, making them sick, or doing things that are making trouble. Yes. Maybe even with the law, or with the peace in the house, or that the master well-beings, or interfere or obstruct master's mission in this lifetime. Even they don't do it on purpose. They just do it. Because the habit of the bad karma, karma force to keep pulling them. It's very strong, and if they're not strong enough, if they don't practice well and don't listen to the master instruction, then they will be always, you know, like what you say, the pebble in the shoes of the master. Yes. And the same with the family members. No? That's why many families are not happy. Yes. We go back to China. There is a story in the Three Kingdoms. Yes. There was a very wise person named Kong Ming. He is a great assistant to the king. And because his job has not done, the king still needs him. So he wanted to extend his life for another 12 years in order to help the younger king. So he prepared a ritual for that. You know, there are some rituals you can prepare to extend your life. It could be true. I have not tried. So this is called white magic or black magic stuff, you know? Now, so he prepared like 12 lamps to symbolize the 12 years extension. But before he finished meditation on this course, one of his assistants came in and clumsily extinguished the lamps, one of it. So that symbolized Kong Ming's life extension is also extinguished with it. So he knew that he cannot stay longer. And then he prepared for his passing. You know, Kong Ming, this master, he knew this man is bad for him. He knew it long, long ago already. He knew it from beginning already. But because he still need him to do things. And at the last moment, see, this man came in, and he can't avoid that. So he died soon after. Now, to answer your question concerning my love of centuries, even if I have one, what is the use of telling you? Huh? Huh? Who is going to believe me anyway, you know? Most humans in this world are all covered up by the dust of forgetfulness. Yeah? So, all right. Don't think I'm a puppy anyway, or the pig, or the chicken in my poem, because I'm not. Okay, love? Are you happy? Do you want to ask any more questions?
Thank you, Supreme Master.
You're welcome, all of you.
But we have a question that we would like to ask. Many of us have watched Supreme Master television this past week, and we heard something that raised a question in our hearts. So we would like to ask you permission to ask you the question.
Okay. Please.
So that question had to do with the excerpt from one of your great poems, The Real Love, the new poem.
Oh, you like it?
Oh, yes.
I love it.
Yes.
All right. It's for peace that I wrote. For peace in this world that I wrote. From my heart. So what about it?
Well, it moved us so much, we would like to know if we could hear the rest of it. And then you can share with us what it's about.
One of the musicians wanted to put it into a song soon, so is it okay if I read it now? Or should
yes,
we wait?
Yes, please.
Supreme Master, we have
time, so please, please, any time for you.
Yeah, okay. Let me check. Okay. Okay. It goes like this. All right. Thank you. But other people, do they want to hear us or just two of you, because it's
everybody,
their time.
You
also,
want to hear,
you know?
Master's poem?
Master, it looks like everybody wants to hear it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. It's good. I know, I know. I know you are very curious people. All right. You can't wait. I know that. Some people already keep asking me before you. All right. So let's have it done with. Huh? After you heard this poem, please do whatever you can to bring peace onto this planet. Okay?
Yes.
Promise?
Yes.
We promise.
We promise, Green Master. Yes.
All right. All right, here comes. They said the world is small, but it ain't that small. There's plenty room for you and me and all. So why this bickering with our neighbors for a few meters more, or even a few kilometers, or say another mountain and river? Don't you feel rather small? At the end of our sojourn, what do we get after all? One squeezy square meter, if we are lucky, to lay down forever. Let's share the splendid earth and do everything to make it better. Even the worms don't rival with the butterflies or the birds. So why do we humans try so mightily against each other? Make life a real misery and even shorter. What will we then tell at the Buddha's gate, us to Saint Peter, all the stuff we did on earth to bring pain and to suffer? Oh dear man, let me tell you something. Just go hang yourself on the hammock between the shadowing coconut, graceful tall trees. Enjoy some cake and tea. Feel the gentle breeze that cools all folly. There, there, you see? Ah, tons of things we can do, our heart to please. Some small and great pleasure. Let it all be. Let's make life more simple. Let our demands be little. Then you will know happiness evermore and more. Then we don't have to go on snatching land, nor have we to hurry on converting man. It's not how many in a belief system, is what become of them. It's not the name of a religious order, it's what we make of the name. It's not how crowded a religion, it's how much into world peace their contribution. It's not our words, it's rather louder our actions. What is going to be our legend in the long history of humans? Will it be right and just? Will it be noble and benevolent? Or just a grim picture soaked in anguished bloody paint? Why always boast about our heavenly root? Oh, Almighty God's beloved children, while our life is tainted with all evils, while our survival is the cause of others' extinction, what is the mark of the chosen? Is it just the blood stain on your hands? Be it from animals or man's? Oh, my dear brothers, I wanted to write you a long, loving letter with thousands more questioning words, but I'm dumbfounded watching the madness of it all. Tell me, when or will we ever represent heaven on earth? Thank you.
That was beautiful, Master. That was beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. You're gracious. You like? Yes?
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. Did you
like it?
You like
it?
You like it because we all like peace. That's why. We all love peace on earth. That's why. That's why you like it. Thank you for being so gracious. Now please continue your program. Enjoy it.
Okay. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Master.
Thank you so much for sharing such a beautiful poem, and thank you for sharing your presence with us. And thank you for the surprise.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you more. God bless us all. Thank you. Thank you. I must go, but I love you. I love you so much. You don't know what I have to go through to be here tonight, truly. I cannot tell you, but I love you so much. I have to go now. Thank you so much.
Thank
God
you.
Thank you,
Supreme Master. Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Lots of love to you.
I'm glad I made it. I'm glad I made it. I was worried I cannot. Thank you, huh? Bye. Love you.
We love you.
We love you.
I love you. Love God. Love you.